But we're going to be going in our Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to read that whole chapter. We're going to read all of 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've already talked about verse 1 and verse 2, but just to have the context, we're going to read all of chapter 5. Let me see here. We're looking at 25 verses. So let me, if you just go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 1, and hear the word of the Lord tonight. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. And we talked about, as a pastor, you treat people the way you would want people to treat your own family. And even if somebody in the church, treat other people the way you would want your family to be treated. Verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness of their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she, this is another type of widow, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Verse 7, command these things as well so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age. This is the requirements for a widow receiving financial assistance from the church. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, or as the Greek would say, being a one-man woman. Okay? That doesn't mean that she would have only had one husband. You know, she could have been widowed and then remarried after her first husband died and then been widowed again. It doesn't mean that. It just means that she was a faithful woman to her husband. And having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers. I'm going to talk about verse 13 a little bit. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but gossips, busybodies, saying what they should not. And please keep an open mind on that verse. I have something I want to say on that. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain. And if you look in your Bible, if you're looking in your Bible, is anybody of the rest of verse 18 is in red? It's in red here where it says the laborer deserves his wages. Paul is quoting Jesus. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, I'll tell you what the big deal about that is, that would have meant that Paul was quoting, I believe this was the Gospel of Mark. So at the time that Paul wrote to Timothy, it looks like the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were already being considered as Scripture, okay? Or at least Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I don't know that John had been written yet, but it looks like that Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already been, you know, pretty much, you know, Paul's quoting from them. In other words, that's Scripture. Verse 19, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. And to those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. We'll talk about that verse. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and for your frequent ailments. The sins of some people, we're not going to get to this verse tonight, but we'll next week maybe. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. Kind of a confusing verse. Verse 25, so also good works and conspicuous, am I saying that word right? Conspicuous. Okay. I'm really trying here tonight, church. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. So everything comes out sooner or later in the wash. So let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the opportunity to gather here and to congregate, Lord. There have been people that have had to do this in hiding, had to do it underground, under threat of death. But Lord, we're here tonight in all freedom, able to together and congregate together. And Lord, we are so thankful for that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you will go up to verse number, let's see here. Here we go. Verse number, start reading at verse number 5. So she, who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Let me tell you what's going on here, and it explains all these next verses. Back in the days of the early church in the first century in Rome, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have Medicare. They didn't have government-assisted housing. Okay? And so if in those days, there just wasn't as many opportunities for women and as we have in a more modern society. And it was possible for, if a woman lost her husband, he died, and if she didn't have any children, she could just become destitute and basically be out on the streets begging for food and live under a bridge or something, just be totally destitute. And so what Paul was saying here is that the church needs to do something. That if, I mean, again, here in the United States today, we've got Social Security, Medicare, all kinds of, you know, assistance to help somebody like that that's financially over their head. But it's not like that in every country. If you are a Christian in India, if you're a widow, I don't know. Is India going to help you out? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know much about. I do know they're a very poor country. I do know that there's parts of Sister Josie, parts of Mexico, that that man, they're just those parts of Mexico. You're talking people with a lot of integrity, a lot of honesty, good-hearted people. But I know of I remember living down in California and talking to guys that there had came from Mexico, and they had relatives in Mexico. This is going to sound like I'm not even telling the truth on this. There were people that were living in Mexico. They had family in Mexico that was in kind of the backwoods part of Mexico where there was no electricity in their homes at all. They used oil lamps, okay? One guy I knew, his home, his parents' house had no running water. They had a stream that went by, and they had taken a piece of PVC pipe and just ran it gravity flow from that stream to the house, and that was their running water. That was their running water. So in an area like that, you know, again, there is no Social Security. There is no Medicare. There is, you know, there's nothing like that. And so Paul was saying, listen, rather, if a woman's been faithful, if she's given herself to the church, If she's at least 60 years of age and she has no kids that can support her, and she's raised up children and she's been a servant and washed the saints' feet. In other words, not literally washing their feet, but she's acted like a servant and she has served in her local congregation. Paul is saying, listen, let's don't just let her become destitute and have to beg out on the streets for food. Let's do something to help her. And that's what Paul is saying here. And he says, you know, she sets her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers all night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. In other words, some lady, what Paul didn't want, here's what Paul did not want. Paul did not want a woman that had lost her husband but maybe was young to say, well, man, I can have the church support me, and I'll have plenty of money because the church can support me, and this will be just my ticket to go back to just a nice single lifestyle. Okay? So Paul was saying, no, if you're wanting to lead a life of self-indulgence, then then somebody like that is dead while she lives. And that's why he says in verse 11, 12, and 13, he says, refuse to enroll younger widows for when their passion, in other words, this needs to be somebody that's truly destitute, somebody that has nowhere to go. And then verse 13, I particularly want to comment on here. And what I'm fixing to say is going to sound like I'm disagreeing with the Apostle Paul, and I'm not. Okay? I want to tell you what the Apostle Paul wrote. It's the Word of God. And I also want to tell you some of my observations, okay? It says in verse 13, it says, besides that, they, speaking of young widows, they learn to be idlers, to go about from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Okay? Can I give you my observation as a man who was, let me give you my pedigree here. I was an assistant in my home church in Madeira for 9 years under Brother Bo, and then for another year and a half under Steve McMullen. So I was 10 and a half years as an assistant pastor. Then we pastored in Chowchilla for almost 8 years. And then we went over to Spain and pastored there for about 3 years. And then we came back here, and I've been here now over 5 years. So that's my, if you will, my pedigree, okay? I will tell you what I have seen. Paul is talking, and this, I'm not trying to disagree with what Paul says. I totally believe in the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But I want to tell you my deal here. It says, refuse younger widows, and that these younger widows will be idlers and go around and be gossips and busybodies. Can I tell you the honest truth, what I've observed in my years? I've observed that men can be gossipers and busybodies just as good as a woman can. Sometimes even better. I can remember years ago, I was in my home church, and I had a job as an accounting manager for this nursery. We grew fruit trees. And our production manager, the guy that was out in the field, got fired because he was stealing from the company. And so we, you know, didn't really like that too much, and so we let him go. Well, it ended up there was a guy in the church, my church, my home church. His name was Dave Garcia, and he, ag background, had gone to Fresno State, majored in agriculture, had an ag science degree, and I talked to him. He comes out in interviews, and guess what? Boom, he becomes the production manager. And so here I am, the accounting manager, and he's the production manager over all the crews out in the field. Had about 60 or 70 guys under him. And after Dave went to work for us, me and Sister Wiggins got invited over to, there was a couple in the church that invited us over to their house for dinner. And I thought, I don't know, I wonder why they're inviting us over, but hey, let's go have dinner. I'll never refuse a dinner date. And Bob, the guy's name was Bob that we were going over to their house, he got me out in the front yard, and he goes, Tim, So Dave's working over there at the same company you are. And I said, yes, yes. Okay. And you're the accounting manager, right? And I said, yeah. So Tim, that means you have access to all the payroll records, don't you? And I said, yeah. Yeah, I do. I can see everybody's payroll in the whole company. Tim, tell me, how much money's Dave making? I was in kind of an awkward situation because on one hand, I would have just told him that's none of your business, but on the other hand, I hadn't eaten yet and I was hungry and I didn't want to get, you know. So it's like, man, I wish he would have asked me that after we had eaten and then we could have just left in a huff. But I just told him, I said, Bob, if Dave came to me and asked me that same question about how much you made, would you want me to tell him how much you made? Oh, well, you misunderstood me, Tim. I wasn't asking how much, Dave. You misunderstood me. I go, oh, I'm sorry. I must have misunderstood you, Bob. And I'm just saying that this passage is talking about young widows and being gossipers and busybodies. But I've known plenty of men that could wag their tongues and talk. And so this verse, when... As a man, when I read this verse, I do not say, oh, well, this just pertains to widows. This just pertains to women. I don't have to worry. None of this applies to me. That's not true. That's not true. A true Christian man is not going to be a busybody. A true Christian man is not going to be a gossip. A true Christian man knows how to guard his tongue as well. And so, Christian men need to take this passage into account just the same as Christian widows do. And everybody said, praise the Lord to that. Now, I want to talk for a moment here about widows because the Bible has a lot to say about widows. And I want, you know, I know that we can't form and shape God into whatever we want him to be, but still, we want God to be somebody that's good, somebody that's loving, somebody that cares. And it's interesting to me when I started looking in the Bible how God cares for widows. God, let me tell you what a widow has, that if I help a man, and back in those days there, back not so much now because women can have jobs and work and all this stuff, back in that society back there, when you helped a poor, destitute widow, if you invested money in her, are you going to get anything back out of that? No, that money's gone. Because an aged widow has no means of ever repaying one red cent. Okay? So when you give money, it's gone. It's gone. And if you look at just some passages in the Bible, if you'll remember, speaking of Elijah, remember Elijah told Ahab, he told him, he says, you know, it's not going to rain until I say so. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And there got to be just a huge drought and famine in the land. And God told Elijah to go by the brook Cherith, and that he would be fed by ravens and drink from that brook. But there was a day that the brook went dry. And God spoke to Elijah and told him in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 and 9, God told Elijah, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which we've talked about this before. That was Jezebel's hometown. So, I mean, here you've got Jezebel that's sworn that she's going to kill Elijah. And God is sending Elijah right into the belly of the beast, if you will. And he says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. And behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you. And if you'll remember the story, when Elijah got there, that widow was not bursting with food. It wasn't like that widow had a storehouse of food where she told Elijah, oh, well, hey, just come on in here and we got you taken care of, man. I got plenty. No, that widow was in the process of, if I remember the story right, I believe she told him, you know, I was just coming out here getting a couple sticks to build a fire. I was going to cook a little cake for me and my son, and then we were just going to eat it and die. Okay, am I remembering that right? So this was a widow who was destitute. And she was living in a godforsaken region. She was living in a land that was wholly given to Baal worship, idolatry, child sacrifice, human sacrifice, just total wickedness. But yet there was a destitute widow, and God said, I'm going to send my prophet 52 miles across hot desert sands because there's a little widow woman that I'm wanting to have. And that, to me, speaks a lot. And if you'll remember, there was even a later time that her son got sick and there was no breath in him. And Elijah prayed for her son and raised him up. You can look in 2, that was Elijah. You can look in 2 Kings 4 and 1, and you've got the prophet Elisha. And if you look in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah and said, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And if you'll remember, that was the time Elisha said, man, well, what have you got to pay your creditor? She goes, I've got nothing. He said, well, what do you got? And she says, all I've got is this little bucket of oil. And he says, okay, take that oil and go get all the vessels you can find. And you're just going to keep filling. And that little vessel, that little cruse of oil is never going to go dry. And she filled all of those vessels. And he says, now go sell the oil and pay off all of your bills. What was happening? God was preserving the life of a widow. Somebody that could never pay him back. Somebody that's never going to be able financially, it's money you're not going to get back. But God saw a widow. You look in one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible is the book of Ruth. And if you look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. So he left the promised land, okay, and went to Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of their two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, what? Died. So she became a widow. And she was left with her two sons. So she was a widow, but she had her two sons to rely on, right? And these two sons took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, but what happened to the sons? Mahlon and Chilion also died. So now Ruth, her husband is dead, and both of her sons are dead, and she's got two daughter-in-laws that are now widows as well. And that is one of the most tragic stories in the Bible, but if you read the beauty of how she goes back to the people of God, goes back to Israel, and takes Ruth with her, and Ruth meets Boaz. And Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer. And you can see the typology of Christ and the church. And then, guess what? Ruth is in the lineage of Christ. If you read, you know, Matthew's genealogy, Ruth is in there in the lineage of Christ. And a beautiful story. And how did it start? It started because God was taking care of a widow. God was taking care of a widow. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, we don't have those issues here in the U.S. I know, but I like to see the character of God. This is the character of God. Somebody that cannot pay him back. Somebody that's never going to be able to reimburse. He's going to help them. And even in the New Testament, Luke chapter 7, and we talked about this on a Sunday morning when we just preaching our way through Luke. Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And he drew near the gate of the town. And behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. So this man had died. His mom was still alive. And she was a widow. So this is a woman that would have no son to provide for her, no husband to provide for her. She would be destitute. And Jesus steps in and says, no, not so. That's not going to happen. And he had compassion on her and he healed her son. In fact, you can read verse 13. It says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, which is the thing that they were carrying her on. And the bearer stood still and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. So I will tell you right now, God loves the down and out. God loves people that society. I went years ago. I was doing insurance inspections here in Oregon. And I had to go down and to Salem and inspect. I don't want to call it a rescue mission. I don't know what it was, but it was a charity project that helped the poor. And if you were homeless, you could come here. And they didn't have places for you to spend the night, but you could come and they had a kitchen completely stocked with food and you could cook whatever you wanted. They had a laundry room with three or four washing machines and all the soap you wanted. You could do all your laundry. You could do everything you wanted. If you needed medical attention, it was there. And this guy, and I don't even think he was a Christian man, but this guy, he told me, he says, all I've ever done all my life is working to help the poor. And he told me something that really kind of stuck with me. He says, you can tell a lot about a country, about a nation, as far as how they treat their poor. If they treat their poor good, then this is a nation that's got a conscience. But if they just let their poor become destitute, he goes, you'll see a lot about the character of a nation in the way that they treat their poor. And I want to just bring these scriptures to show you that God has compassion on. God has compassion on the poor. And I don't know about you, but there have been times, me and Sister Wiggins have never lived out underneath a bridge, and we've never had that, but I will tell you, we've had some pretty lean, there have been times, especially in the early years of our marriage, that things were very, very, very lean. And I can also remember when we came off the mission field and came to Oregon, and Sister Wiggins, that first year we were here, God was so good, but man, I don't know if I ever want to go through that again. We literally struggled to have money. We literally had, I can remember waking up that very first morning. We rented this apartment and we had no furniture and we had no beds. And we woke up, that first morning on air mattresses. And I remember waking up and thinking, oh, I feel so good. I slept so good. And then all of a sudden, I jumped and I started. I thought, what am I, goodness, what am I going to do? I'm laying here on an air mattress with no furniture and no money. What am I going to do? But you know what? God took care of us. God took care of us. I had a little bit of money. We started buying furniture. I remember going and buying a leather recliner. And I just think God does things sometimes. Because I bought a leather recliner, nice leather recliner, and it for a cheap price. And I started counting out the money, and I counted out the money to the guy, and the guy took the money, and he goes, you know, here, let me give about half of this back to you. I don't think I want all of it. And I didn't tell him that we were poor. I didn't tell him that we were needing it. I didn't tell him that we needed that money for groceries. But God just takes care of people. God just takes care of people. And that is the mind, the character, and the heart of God, is God takes care of people. And so at that point right there, we have finished the section on widows. And the next section of 1 Timothy chapter 5 deals with elders in the church. In other words, with pastors. And I could get into that, and I would love to get into that. Sister Wiggins has to drive all the way to Oregon City tonight. And it's 8 o'clock. And I promised her that we would bring this in for a landing at 8 o'clock. So it is 7:57. And I've been teaching about almost 30 minutes, so I guess it's time anyway. But does anybody have any questions or comments about what we've read? Sister, let me grab you a microphone, Sister Kristen. There we go.
Well, a couple weeks ago you talked about, or a little bit ago you talked about the widow of Nain and how Jesus raised up her son who was...
That was one of the verses we read tonight.
Fresh in my mind.
Hey, at least I'm glad you remembered that I preached on it a few weeks ago. That made my day.
That's all.
Yeah, but yes, it was the and Nain was a little nothing town. So you have a nothing widow from a nothing town. Nobody cares about her except one, and that's Jesus. And he says, "You know what? I like that. I like that." Anybody else? Questions or comments on this tonight? These verses, while they might not deal with a situation you're going through, because this is a situation of being a widow, and you know that might not apply. You say this doesn't apply. It applies in that we see the character and the heart of God, that he wants those that are in need to be cared for. And I want to develop those kind of traits. I want to develop those kind of feelings. Okay, so anybody else? Okay, well, let's all stand tonight. Amen. Thankful for everybody that's here and everybody that logged in tonight. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word, the goodness of your word, Lord. God, Lord, let us guide us safely back here on Sunday, Lord, that we may worship you again. And Lord, during this time in between Wednesday and Sunday, Lord, let your hand be upon every family of this church. Lord, let your hedge of protection, let your hand of blessing be upon us, Lord. Lord, help us to walk humbly before you. God, help us to walk in the fear of the Lord. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.